The following program is pre-recorded.
Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. As all Wisconsinites know, there's a whole lot more to the Badger State than, well, badgers. North Central Wisconsin in particular is home to a range of gorgeous lakes, rivers, bluffs, trails, and waterfalls. It all makes for a unique landscape, perfect for road trips and exploration. But Wisconsin is also filled to the brim with weirdness. Plenty of unusual attractions, mysterious places, and little-known oddities that are all well worth the visit. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer, in for Shereen Siebert. Today we take you on a tour of North Central Wisconsin's and the state's most unusual destinations, from the enigmatic to the obscure. Our tour guide today is Travel Wisconsin's Secretary Designee, Sarah Meany. Sarah, welcome back to Route 51.
I am so thrilled to be here, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Oh, terrific. Because this program was pre-recorded, we won't be taking your calls today. Sarah, it's holiday weekend. I'm going to start that over again. Sarah, it's Halloween weekend, and the pandemic has really put the brakes on much of the usual Halloween fanfare. We thought this would be a perfect time to talk about taking a quick Halloween weekend road trip to visit some of the most unusual places in Wisconsin. And there's certainly quite a bit in our state that we can take in this weekend. Sarah, let's talk about some of those weird, quirky, odd roadside attractions.
I would love to. As you just said, Rick, there are so many choices to fill up a weekend of either spooky or quirky with your family and your loved ones. So how about we start with quirky and odd art? It might inspire us to think about quirky and odd things, right?
Sounds good.
So let's go first to Fountain City, right there on the Mississippi River. Prairie Moon Sculpture Garden and Museum is a really cool place. It's a colorful art garden, and they have huge folk art pieces that are made using inventive, different fabrication techniques. And they were made by self-taught artist Herman Rush. So it's an interesting cultural heritage spot, and it was purchased and preserved in the 1990s by the Kohler Foundation. And it definitely represents the importance of public art to community. So it's a really cool stop along that great river road part of our state.
It is certainly a beautiful part of the state. You know, all of Wisconsin is beautiful and every section of the state. But Fountain City, that area is pretty incredible. Now, you also wanted to talk about Jurassic Park. Now, Jurassic Park in Marshfield has been there for quite a while, and it continues to bring in visitors from not only Wisconsin but in the Midwest, but really across the country.
Yeah, it really is a cool spot. So the artist himself, Clyde Winia, he crafted larger-than-life creatures, and it really is a fantasy world. So you'd have to check it out to believe it. Everything from dragons and dinosaurs and all sorts of other resident exotic animals. We don't know whether they are original to Marshfield as an exotic animal, of course, but they're made out of a lot of different metals. So when you're there, you'll really see the work it took for the artist to craft these very unusual sculptures. So make sure you stop at the Hobbit House to see Nancy Winia's hand-blown glass jewelry and other fiber and glass specialty pieces available for purchase. So check out the outside sculpture garden, do a little bit of interesting holiday shopping, and really immerse yourself in the unusual creative process that they definitely have created there in Marshfield.
Well, you know, there's another similar but quite different sculpture garden outside of Sparta, which is the Wegener Grotto. It's a handmade or homemade outdoor church and sculpture garden decorated almost entirely with glass shards. It was in 1929, I understand, Paul and Matilda Wegener retired to their farm just outside of Cataract, Wisconsin. Although neither was an artist by trade, they were, as they said at the time, inspired after seeing a homemade grotto in Dickeyville to create this sculpture garden that would really attract visitors from across the states.
Wow, that sounds like a cool place. I have not been there.
And let's talk a little bit about a place that I went to when I was a child. My parents took me up to Phillips and introduced me to the incredible concrete park.
Incredible is the perfect word for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a sight to see. So this is up in Phillips in Price County, and it really is a gem of public art spaces. There are over 230 concrete and mixed media sculptures that were created by Wisconsin artist Fred Smith. And he retired from his lifelong career as a lumberjack in 1948, and then he started making these crazy larger-than-life sculptures and monuments. It's free to get in, but donations are much appreciated for the preservation of the art and the land. And there are a couple other things to check out while you're at the Wisconsin Concrete Park as well. You can stop into the on-site Rock Garden Tavern, grab a drink or a bite to eat, and then make sure you have enough energy to tour the rest of the concrete park. So it's a really cool spot right there in Phillips.
Yeah, it's, you know, it would seem that, you know, when you first drive up to it, it's kind of deceiving. It's huge, really,
yeah.
when you think yeah. about it. And legend has said that some of these sculptures actually move. Have you ever experienced that?
I have not seen them move, but I think anyone with a great imagination could imagine what type of things they could do. I like where you're going with this, Rick, though. The spooky, creepy, and quirky kind of all intertwine here, don't they?
Well, you know, it is Wisconsin, so there you go. No, one I have not heard about really was the Painted Forest in Vulton. Tell us about that.
Oh, the Painted Forest. I'm going to need you to tell me about this one because I'm not sure I have as much information on that one as you do.
Well, outside of Vulton, Wisconsin.
Okay.
And from what I understand, as you enter the building, you're taken back into the art itself as the walls and ceiling are completely covered in murals from the late 1800s.
Wow.
The self-taught artist of these paintings arrived in the area in 1897 and was commissioned to create art for the local fraternal society. Now, I'm not quite sure what fraternity that was, but
wow.
This person was really incredible in what he did. Now, this theme that we're talking about here right at the beginning of the program are these folks that are self-taught and really not artists by
mm-hmm.
trade. Is that something that was common back in the time when these things were being created, these roadside attractions and odd and quirky art?
Well, you really have to ask yourself where that inspiration is coming from in these spots in Wisconsin, right? Because, you know, so many of us have hobbies, right, on the side from what we do for a living. And so much of that creativity can be inspired by the places where we are and the materials that are around us. And I think that's an example, you know, another example of that is with Dr. Evermore's sculpture garden, Forevertron.
I was going to ask
you about
that.
I don't know if you've
ever
been there. That's in Baraboo. And when you pull up, you wouldn't even know quite what you're going to experience. It is near a scrap metal yard, interestingly. But so many of the pieces that Dr. Evermore salvaged came from factories and other agricultural machines and things like that. And while it's actually closing for this season, it's something that should be on everybody's bucket list because this place is just so one of a kind. There's a one iconic centerpiece sculpture right in the middle of the sculpture park that they call Forevertron. And it's a 50-foot tall, 120-foot wide metal sculpture, and it weighs over 300 tons. It looks like an alien spaceship that landed right in the middle of this field. And then around it, of course, are all these other whimsical and unusual sculptures that he has created, including an entire symphony of animals whose bodies also look like musical instruments. So now Dr. Evermore, of course, actually was a lifelong artist and sculptor, but to find that place right there and to put it there and to dedicate your life's work to creating an experience like that really is something interesting and uniquely Wisconsin.
It sounds incredible. And speaking of spaceships, the connection to Sputnik, what's that all about?
Yeah, so Sputnik 4 actually crashed in Manitowoc in 1962. So we have an out-of-this-world surprise when a piece of the Sputnik 4 crashed into the middle of Main Street in Manitowoc. So it's a 20-pound piece of satellite fragment, and it's currently preserved in the Rar West Art Museum. And the site of the surprise landing is marked on the road, so you can still see it there in Manitowoc. The museum itself is a public museum right there in the city of Manitowoc, and it's located in a historic local mansion, which also has an interesting history. But admission to that museum is free. But again, of course, donations are appreciated. A lot of these nonprofits, of course, need the dollars to help support the mission of the museum.
Now, Sarah, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Now think about this. You know, you know when you drive by and you see a big fiberglass cow or a big fiberglass critter of some sort on the side of the road or in front of a shop. Do you ever wonder what happens to those things when they're kind of done, when the owners are saying, we're done with this, we're just going to move it along?
Well, you know, Rick, I've never really thought about the death of the fiberglass figure, but, you know, someone has. I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Go with it.
Well, don't we have a huge collection of retired fiberglass statues somewhere here in Wisconsin?
In Sparta.
Well, so there's also a really well-known fiberglass sculpture in Sparta named Ben. Are you familiar with Ben?
Yep.
Ben Bikin is the largest fiberglass bicyclist in the world. Who knew Wisconsin could be the home of such an amazing icon, right? 32-foot-tall bicyclist. Because, of course, Sparta also calls itself the bicycling capital of America, with so many bike trails winding through that area. And it really is a part of the culture of the town of Sparta. So Big Ben is another nickname for him. Ben Bikin himself welcomes people into Sparta, and he's on his Victorian era bicycle. And there's also an audio history that he shares when you actually stop by to say hello to Ben. So there's sort of this connection to large fiberglass sculptures right there in Sparta.
It is incredible. And there is this huge graveyard for discarded fiberglass models or statues, if you will.
And they're all a little bit just in disrepair. So there's a little bit of a creepy, spooky factor, but it's also really fun to see what people have made in the past. You know, you can think of some of the obvious, maybe, you know, a character holding a hamburger, for example. Mm-hmm. But some of the other figurines are really interesting to see, too. So that's a fun thing to tour.
Yeah, Wisconsin is really a magnet for these things. I know you've got the Pinky the Elephant and the Forest and the humongous loon and Mercer and the giant muskie and Hayward. It's pretty incredible. Here you have these pristine places, and all of a sudden there's this really big critter sticking its head out.
Right. And somebody thought it was a good idea, and they weren't wrong.
That's true. We are talking with Wisconsin Secretary We are talking with Travel Wisconsin Secretary Designee Sarah Meany. She's our guest today as we continue our discussion about the most unusual attractions and destinations in north central Wisconsin and throughout the state. Perfect for a late fall and Halloween weekend road trip. More suggestions are coming up after the break. I'm Rick Ryer, and this is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Scary on Halloween.
We're back on Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer in for Shireen Seward. This week, Travel Wisconsin Secretary Designee Sarah Meany is with us today, offering recommendations for a quick road trip and getaway to visit some of Wisconsin's lesser-known, quirky, and haunted destinations. Sarah, I'm guessing you've been just about everywhere in Wisconsin. Do you have a personal favorite spot that you'd like to mention?
Oh, my goodness. Well, on the theme of kooky and haunted, I just really like to check out places that have interesting stories behind them. So whether it's, you know, the areas in the state that might have been frequented by some of the ghouls of the past, like gangsters. That's pretty fun to pair that with, you know, some great food and drink as well. So I think we've got a couple examples of that as well.
Well, let's talk about the gangsters.
Let's do that. So as we know, there are so many stories of why the North Woods of Wisconsin ended up being kind of the hideout spots for some of the most infamous gangsters from the Chicago area. Of course, people like John Dillinger and Al Capone in the 20s and 30s would use, you know, Wisconsin's woods as their hideout. So whether it's somewhere in the woods itself, or whether we tell the story through movies like Public Enemies, which of course was filmed in part here in the state as well, there are some pretty cool places that are still open where you can think about and relive some of those very different times. So Little Bohemia Lodge is in Manitowish Waters, and it was the actual site of a very famous 1934 firefight between the FBI and the Dillinger gang. So it is still open as a restaurant, and it still keeps its unique place in history because it's been preserved in the bullet holes peppering the walls and other memorabilia that they still have there that were left behind from gangsters as they fled the law.
Do you think the people that operate the establishment, especially at that time, and the people that live there and continue to live there, see that as really a claim to fame from a hero sort of standpoint? These guys coming up from Chicago and just living it up, basically, and hiding out in northern Wisconsin.
Gosh, I don't know whether people think of those guys as heroes, but it certainly puts some of these towns on the map, and these businesses rely on the history of those buildings and of that place to make a living. So every story has an interesting history behind it. So I think it just adds to the charm of some of the communities that we have around the state, that's for sure.
Well, Sarah, while Little Bohemia gets a lot of attention, there are quite a few other infamous gangster hideouts in northern Wisconsin that many may not know much about. Would you tell us about what is so special about Cabin Number 5 of Dillman's Bay Resort?
Oh, boy. Well, so Dillman's Bay Resort, if you're not familiar, is actually in Lac des Flambeaux, and it's located on White Sand Lake. And it's a really beautiful resort. And it's what Northwoods Retreat daydreams are made of. When you picture the perfect Northwoods Wisconsin escape, this is absolutely that place. It's serene. It's gorgeous. It's a wonderful place to relax and unwind. But ultimately, it was definitely the case for a shootout.
So, of course.
When they were trying to do was elude the FBI after the earlier mentioned Little Bohemia shootout, Nelson ended up actually hiding out in Cabin 5 of Dillman's Resort. So it's infamous and famous for being the place where the hideout actually took place. The cabin has gotten a lot of modern improvements, and it currently is a great space to relax, but it's fun to maybe imagine times back then when those wise guys were hiding out from all the dastardly deeds they had done.
You know, it just conjures up these images of films, and you could see Babyface Nelson right there, and incredible place. I've driven by it, but I've never been in. I should check out Cabin Number 5, right?
Yeah, and okay. Maybe, you know, see if you sense any spirits there.
Then there's this guy by the name of Polack Joe. And he spent some time at Barker Lake Lodge in Hayward, right?
He did. So he was a Chicago gang leader as well. And he also operated the speakeasy because apparently that's what you did back then. Mm-hmm. He had this lodge designed and built in the 20s as a retreat. So it's a big estate. It sprawls over 230 acres in Sawyer County. And it's home to 10-bedroom lodge and 6 lakeshore cabins. Sounds great. Visitors can even golf the legendary 9-hole course built by this Chicago beer baron.
You know, the Northwoods really seem to have an allure for these gangsters just to come up and and kick it up and just kind of hide out it, literally.
Exactly. Just far enough away and just enough trees to hide behind, right?
Exactly. Well, then Ralph Capone. You know, Ralph Capone was the brother of Al Capone, correct?
Correct.
And he really was impressed by the Northwoods, and he operated a bar out there. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he liked it so much he made it his permanent home. So he settled in Mercer, and he operated the Rex Bar, and that's R-E-X, until he passed away in the 70s. So he had thousands of acres of public land around. There were lakes right there, of course, and the Turtle Flambeau Flowerton. So it's no wonder that he liked the Mercer area, a nice, beautiful, peaceful place. And while the Rex Bar isn't in operation anymore, you can explore Mercer and imagine times past by snowmobile, ATV, car, camper, bike, boat, skis, or by foot. It's a beautiful outdoor recreation destination. You can also stop by to see the world's largest talking loon. I think you previously mentioned Claire de Lune.
Right.
Claire de Lune really is one of a kind. She's one of those huge sculpture statues that we spoke about as well, 16 feet tall. And she weighs over 2,000 pounds. So something to check out, something to check off your list of bucket list items.
Well, you know, we're keeping on that the Capone legacy. Al Capone had a many rivals, but one of them was Bugs Moran. And Bugs kind of went a little east of here, Lake Geneva, and spent some time at Water's Edge. Tell us about that.
Yes, he did. So apparently Bugs Moran spent so much time up there. His wife got kind of friendly and ended up divorcing him to marry the establishment's original owner. The original owner of the Water's Edge then became the husband of Bugs Moran's wife. So you think about that and you think, they must have spent a fair amount of time there. And it's gorgeous. It's tucked away on Lake Como. It's now a bed and breakfast, and it really is a great spot to unwind and relax lakeside in one of our state's really beautiful spots.
And then there's the Maxwell Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tell us about that. It's really a fascinating story about that place.
It is. So this mansion was built in 1855, and it was the first mansion in Lake Geneva. And it's a European-style mansion. It's full of rich history, and including the infamous Prohibition era, which, of course, was the inspiration for this hideaway today, mm-hmm. When you experience it now. So there's a dimly lit stone staircase to the basement of the Maxwell Mansion, and that's how you actually get to a hidden speakeasy. So it's true to 1920s form, and you can only get in through the inconspicuous back alley entrance. And the whole place is filled with edgy 1920s decor, a nice modern twist. And it's a little-known bar, but it really is as good as it gets, as long as you have the password to get in and know, I can't tell you what that password is. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you, I think is what they say.
Pretty much, yeah. Kind of reminds me of that place in Milwaukee where you have to go and know the password to get in. And while you're trying to figure that out, people are inside watching you on the camera. Yeah, the
safe
house.
Exactly, the safe house. There's another speakeasy on the east side of Milwaukee now as well, called Shanghai. It's a fun one. It's really small. It only has about 10 seats. You also have to have a password for that one. So if you like speakeasies, you should hit them all up.
It still blows me away about all the gangsters coming up to northern Wisconsin. And, you know, like we said before, it is a claim to fame. Odd that it is, but it certainly is.
Yeah, it's sort of the Wild West of the North, right?
Yeah, exactly. And now let's take a look at some of the quote-unquote haunted places that we have in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Like the Pfister Hotel in Milwaukee.
Ah, well, if you haven't been to the Pfister, first off, you should know that it is a grand old hotel. It is beautiful. You walk in and you feel like you've been transported into a very luxurious place and time. But legend has it that it is one of the most haunted in the state. And many visiting baseball players often stay in the Pfister Hotel because it is a wonderful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
Have reported that ghosts actually like to terrorize them. So some of them report seeing ghosts standing in the room or interviewing with TV or radio. And while, you know, that I think it depends on where you come from, and how you think about it, how you might describe what's going on with your TV or radio problems. But so one example, one story specifically was a Minnesota Twins player who told the Minneapolis Star Tribune that his iPod started playing inexplicably and vibrating across a table on the other side of the room twice. So when you walk through this gorgeous hotel, and it truly is a jewel, and you look up the grand staircase, you might actually see Charles Pfister himself, who opened the hotel in 1893, looking right back at you.
Oh, that's kind of creepy. And you know, we do love our Milwaukee Brewers, and anything to keep the opponent off their game is a good thing in my book, even though
it
might,
sure, you know. And I think baseball players are known for their interesting routines and superstitions, aren't they?
So, you got it.
If it's going to live, it's going to live in baseball, right?
Indeed. Well, heading back to Manitowoc, that area, the Mirabel Caves, it's kind of one of those interesting players as well, pieces as well. What do you think about that?
So, you know, it's interesting. The Mirabel Caves themselves, I mean, what do you think of when you think of walking into caves? Or, you know, I don't know. I picture things like bats hanging from the ceiling and a little, you know, dripping water sounds and things like that. But is there a story specifically connected to the Mirabel Caves that makes it so haunted, Rick?
Well, I think it has to do with the bats.
Oh,
and
my.
That the bats not only are hanging, you know, from where they hang, but they kind of inhabit the area and protect it from those that are trying to come in. And,
oh, my.
And I guess they're very protective because of what the bats are thought to be.
Oh, my.
If you know where I'm going with that. So.
Well, maybe it is that, you know, the stories we think about when we think of Halloween and we think of vampires and what those bats may actually be seeking out, right? Mm-hmm. So the creepiness of that, I don't know about you, but I watched enough Scooby-Doo growing up to imagine that any bat is a bad bat. And caves, of course, are a beautiful place for them to hang out. But the spookiness there, of course, is that if you're a little creeped out by bats and you're going to explore in those caves, there's no question you're going to end up seeing a few of those. They're very nice bats, but we have to worry once in a while if that superstition makes us concerned that they might be the one in the hundreds could be that scary vampire bat, right?
Exactly. Well, heading over to the old Baraboo Inn, legend has it, it's a former brothel and a watering hole that really now operates as a tavern with upstairs apartments. And
ooh.
And the most famous guest of that particular inn, the old Baraboo Inn, is Mary. And Mary was a prostitute who died in the building in the early 1900s and has been known to appear cavorting in her saloon dancer dress.
Oh, my.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting to see staying at the old Baraboo Inn and all of a sudden, where'd that come from?
Oh, my.
Yeah, the owner, B.C. Fire, told the Wisconsin State Journal that he's seen dishware flying off a rack, a broom floating across the kitchen, doors opening and closing by themselves. And I guess the employees have been spooked, but now they almost feel that it's comforting to have Mary there protecting them.
Or maybe she's just trying to keep them on their toes, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it seems that these old hotels have these little stories and histories behind them, like Hotel Shawamigan up in Ashland. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, my gosh. Hotel, you have all of these, like, special spots, and I'm not even sure I know all the stories behind them, Rick. That one you're going to have to tell me about.
Well, you know, this is a good one, too. There's a group called Team Profit, and they're a paranormal research group from Minnesota, and they recorded disembodied voices and strange noises. And
my gosh.
And experienced unexplained equipment malfunctions in two visits to this hotel up in Ashland that's operated by Best Western. Staff and guests have reported most of the creepy encounters happen in room 314 and the attic.
Oh, my. Now, is that something you'd want to do, Rick? Are you going to go stay in Hotel Schwamigan?
I have stayed there, but I didn't know about this before I stayed
there. Gosh. Were you in room 314? I guess that's the question, right?
I can't tell. I don't know for sure which room I was in, and I certainly wasn't in the attic. So I don't know if I'll go back or not.
I love spooky movies and scary movies and things like that. My husband, not so much. So we're probably not likely to stay in a place that is known to be haunted. But, you know, I imagine there are people all over the country and all over the world who like to ghost hunt. And so these are definitely hot spots for people to check out and to have a reason to check out a different part of the state and see if maybe you're lucky enough to see Mary. Or maybe check out room 314 in Ashland at the Hotel Schwamigan.
Indeed, indeed. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the your favorite stories and haunted stories around Wisconsin.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't know. I think one of the things that that people may not know, of course, is Wisconsin's connection to magic and Harry Houdini, who called Appleton home. That's where he grew up. And of course, you know, his role in building out, you know, the legacy of magic and magicians is second to none. There's even a place that still celebrates that, and that is at the Harry Houdini Historical Center. Mm-hmm. And that's at the History Museum at the castle. And that building itself, of course, is really unusual and definitely something to see. And it was originally a Masonic temple built in 1923. The museum itself is currently closed, but put it on your bucket list for the future. Mm-hmm. But things that they have there are, you know, some of the straitjackets he used, iron legs, lock picks. But what is open is actually the Harry Houdini Gastropub. So if you're in the area, it's a fun spot to go because it's a fun themed restaurant. You can dine in or you can order to go. And they have chef-inspired daily features, and the atmosphere definitely is set up sort of to dazzle you. And in fact, the food is said to be so good, it might just disappear right before your eyes.
I've been to the museum. I have not been to the Gastropub, but I've been to the museum. It is an incredible place. And I'm going to have to check out the Gastropub on my next trip down there to the Appleton area. Thank you for sharing that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What is your favorite part about being the Travel Wisconsin Secretary?
Oh, I love that question, Rick. Gosh, you know, I think about it often, actually, you know, especially during the times that we're dealing with. The part that I love most about, you know, the role that the tourism secretary plays in the tourism industry is the wide variety of perspectives of the people who make the tourism industry in our state so fantastic. I mean, it's people who run some of these roadside attractions. It's people who take care of the museums that we want to go and check out. It's the people who have built businesses just so that they could entertain and build a recreation outlet for visitors. And I think that's amazing. So whether it's people in the service industry who just by their very nature want to serve people and show people a great time, no matter who you meet in the tourism industry around the state of Wisconsin, they are all in it to make sure people are having a wonderful time and make great memories in our state. And that's just something that I've been really impressed by all along, and continuing to meet new people along the way has been amazing. And I grew up in Wisconsin, so I spent a lot of time in a station wagon, you know, touring with my family and going and seeing state parks and all different towns. But seeing it through the eyes of, you know, the tourism secretary, people just truly are so passionate about Wisconsin as their home, and they want visitors to experience the same. So I think that's really been the joy of this role.
Oh, that's really great. What would you say to somebody now, especially during this time that we're all kind of hunkered in with COVID and all of that going on in our state? How can somebody just really enjoy the weekend?
Well, you know, we have so many opportunities to stretch our legs and spread apart. Wisconsin has so much open space, nearly 50% covered by forests. We have over 15,000 lakes, 43,000 miles of rivers and streams. And so outdoor recreation offers so many people a great opportunity to check out a different part of the state, do so keeping health and safety in mind, and making sure that we can continue to appreciate the natural beauty of our state And also keeping in mind that all the towns that are dotted throughout the entire state have wonderful shops and small businesses that make products and grow products that are really great for us to continue to support. So there's no shortage of options, even though we're feeling cooped up. And that doesn't change going into fall and winter. Wisconsin really does come alive with outdoor sports in fall and winter. And so you just have to kind of put on your adventure hat and an extra layer and get outside.
Travel Wisconsin Secretary Designee Sarah Meany is our guest today on Route 51 as we continue our discussion about the most unusual attractions and destinations in Wisconsin, perfect for a late fall or Halloween weekend getaway. More suggestions coming up after the break. I'm Rick Ryer. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Jenny Weber. Jenny Weber. Search the lake every day if it takes them to find little Jenny, they said. But they never did find a single sign that told them little Jenny was taken. And it caused a fear within the people that year. The lake is haunted, they say. And the story lives on that when the lake is calm, Jenny's spirit floats out of the
music from David Dahl of Rhinelander singing about Jenny Weber. And Sarah, Jenny Weber apparently back a long time ago was lost around this lake in northern Wisconsin between Rhinelander and Eagle River off Highway 17. And that lake is now called Jenny Weber Lake.
Wow. Well, that certainly conjures up some very dark and macabre thoughts, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And, you know, Wisconsin not only has these attractions, roadside attractions and haunted hotels and other things, but there are places that are natural areas as well as lighthouses and such in the state that also have their mysterious situations behind them. For example, in Stevens Point, according to local legend, the street gets its name, the street called Boy Scout Lane, gets its name from a tragedy that occurred several decades ago. And apparently it's one of the top haunted roads in the world. And the area has been subject to several paranormal investigations and has been a haunt for youths hoping to experience a paranormal event. And apparently a troop of Boy Scouts were killed on a camping trip in the 1950s, and it's said that now their ghosts are haunting passerbys and walkers along Boy Scout Lane in Stevens Point.
Oh, my. Wow. Well, I don't have a dog, but if I had a dog, I would probably not walk my dog on that road.
Probably not.
Wow, I never knew that. That's wild. You know, but you brought up lighthouses and other, other sort of historical places. And, it's every time you walk into a place, particularly lighthouses, you are transported to another time. You can almost imagine the people who lived in them and who cared for them to make sure that ships did not, go the wrong way in the fog or in the night. And I think some of those are really interesting, and quite a few of them are able to be toured. Let's start with the Sherwood Point Lighthouse, which is at the Green Bay entrance to Sturgeon Bay. And it's an interesting red brick building, and it has a square tower. So the story has it that in 1889, lighthouse keeper married a woman named Minnie Hesch, and she was later named assistant keeper, one of very few women to hold such a post. But in 1928, she had a stroke and died while getting out of bed in an upstairs bedroom. And he stayed there and retired there in 1933. But people who visit and residents of the area have reported hearing noises at night and voices and clinking of teacups. And other people have seen a presence on the staircase. So a descendant of that lighthouse keeper took a photograph of the lighthouse in about 1984. And the photo shows a human form in one of the windows. I just got the chills. Could Minnie still be haunting that lighthouse? I think it's possible. But oh, it's my. Now used by the Coast Guard as a retreat. So maybe we should ask some of the Coast Guard recruits how they're feeling about that place.
Yeah, that would be a great question. You know, you see these lighthouses and you think about the history of them, and of course things like that happen, but hauntings from many and others. For example, the Chambers Island Lighthouse. Chambers Island is about just outside of Fish Creek in mm-hmm. Door County, built in 1868. It's a brick lighthouse and it has a circular stairway from the basement to the lantern deck. The first keeper was Lewis Williams, who remained there until 1889. This was from 1868 to 1889. And the first haunting of that lighthouse occurred in the spring of 1976 when a caretaker said that a loud noise sounding like footsteps coming down the tower staircase, continuing through the living room, kitchen, Ooh. And ending with a click as the kitchen door closed. In the summer of 1979, it was reported that during the renovation process, tools began disappearing and ending up in unlikely places.
Oh, my.
And they allowed visitors to spend the night there. And they said that their beds would sometimes shake as if they muddy, unseen pair of hands were there.
Oh, my. Wow. They are brave souls, aren't they?
No kidding. No kidding.
Wow.
In Rock Island, off the northern tip of Door County, has a beautiful lighthouse, Pottawatomie Lighthouse. Apparently, it's the state's oldest lighthouse, built
oh,
in
wow.
1836. What can you tell us about that?
Well, here's what I know about it. The original lighthouse keeper, David Corbin, was buried on the island. And in 1994, a renovation project was completed. And the lighthouse was restored as a live-in museum to what it was in 1910. And the docents themselves live in the lighthouse from Memorial Day through Columbus Day each year, and they give daily tours. But visitors have reported voices, odd shapes flickering over graves, and unusual noises at a Native American cemetery. And similarly, the ghosts of small children have been reported playing in and around a graveyard where Scandinavian settlers are buried. Rock Island is a very interesting spot anyway, but to have this type of story and these experiences live on certainly adds a whole new layer to it. So they've also heard strange noises in the lighthouse and doors that open and close and things go thump in the night, quite literally. And some of them believe it's the spirit of that original keeper and that he sometimes is tromping around in the second floor. And they're also hearing children playing on the grounds around the lighthouse. And maybe those 9 children had something to do with this.
Hmm. You know, in most of these places in Wisconsin, if you get scared, you can kind of run away. But on Rock Island, there's nowhere to go.
No, there's not. There's not. I imagine there's people out there who actually love getting the daylight scared out of them. But these are some pretty good spots and opportunities to do that. Now, Rock Island has been closed throughout most of the opportunity season this year. But again, you got to start building your bucket list now, because soon enough, spring and summer are going to be here next year. And you need to scare the daylights out of yourself then.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to make those reservations online fairly mm-hmm. soon for next year or even the year after that, because that campground area does fill up really fast. It's beautiful.
It does. It does. It's a beautiful place.
You know, Sarah, I grew up in Wisconsin. I have Badger red blood and flowing through my veins, but I have never, ever been to the Trollway.
Yes, Mount Horeb. So if you haven't been to Mount Horeb, you might be surprised to find that there are so many carved wooden trolls that are there and they keep watch over the community. And in fact, there's over 30 of them throughout the downtown area of Mount Horeb. They are life-sized creatures. Now, I want to know how we know what true life-sized trolls actually are and how tall they are, but they are actually life-size creatures from Scandinavian folklore that live outside a lot of Mount Horeb's local attractions. So they're carved out of wood. definitely nod to the area's Norwegian heritage. And whether you're on a bike or you're strolling down the wonderful and charming main street of Mount Horeb, make sure that you stop by and see the classic creatures that protect some of their specialty shops and restaurants. You can embrace the quirky charm of the visit by grabbing a drink at the Grumpy Troll Brew Pub and give a nod to one of the trolls on your way out of town.
Now, are these trolls up all year long?
Yes, as far as I'm aware. Yeah, they're wood. Our weather and Norway's weather, you just got to imagine. Just transport yourself to that Scandinavian home of those trolls, and they are up all year. I think the same is true of the many trolls at Al Johnson, if you're looking for some other trolls. Al Johnson's in Sister Bay in Door County. Those trolls are outside all year long as well.
Well, Wisconsin has got all kinds of pretty neat things. This is incredible.
We do.
One of the things that has really intrigued me, and to be totally honest with you, I'm terrified to go in, is the International Clown Hall of Fame.
Well, why are you terrified?
You know, there are some of us that have a phobia about clowns.
Uh-huh. And that phobia is called pulverphobia, right?
Yep.
Fear of clowns. Well, Rick, I would tell you that fear or no fear, this place is a pretty cool place. So if you're afraid of clowns, it might freak you out a little bit, but the International Clown Hall of Fame in Baraboo really is fun for those of us who find clowns a little weird, but also kind of benign. And it is really a unique little stop near Wisconsin Dells. It's part museum and part archives. But it's where you can find anything you need to know about historical clowns. And it's only open by appointment. So you have to call ahead, Rick. I could call and make you an appointment if you'd like.
I suppose it's that old saying is face your fear, right?
Exactly, exactly.
My palms are actually sweating right now. I'm serious.
Well, maybe one day, right?
Maybe one day, yeah, I certainly would not want to go alone, that's for sure.
Well, we can arrange some companionship. But yeah, that's a really fun one. Of course, you know, it goes hand in hand with you know, the other Circus World memorabilia in the area, in the Baraboo area, and it is a fun spot.
In your last minutes with us, Sarah, I know you need to leave shortly, but what else can you recommend to folks this Halloween weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, there's nothing better than going on a beautiful fall color walk through one of our amazing state parks. There are so many opportunities to do that and get out and still social distance. The colors are at near peak in pretty much the southern half of the state. And if you're looking for a place based on the colors, the fall colors, you can go to travelwisconsin.com, and we have a fall color report that gives you up-to-date information on how close to peak or just maybe slight past peak the areas of the state are. So you can pick the most colorful option within the region that you're interested in going to and take a beautiful fall car ride and take it all in and then go stretch your legs. So that would be my recommendation for people to take in as we head toward Halloween weekend and into the rest of fall.
And if you're thirsty, you can always visit the world's largest six-pack in La Crosse, right?
I've never been that thirsty, but I think it sounds like a wonderful idea.
Sarah Meany, thank you so much for joining us today on Route 51.
Thanks, Rick. It was a lot of fun.
That's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Rick Ryer in for Shereen Seward, and I'd like to thank our guest, Travel Wisconsin Secretary Designee Sarah Meany. Shereen Seward and Joy Ratchkramer produced today's program. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Stevie Wonder, David Dahl, and the Gomers. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route51. If you have an idea for a future program, we'd love to hear from you. Just email us at route51@wpr.org. Until next week, we're heading out of town. There, hey, I had a creep up at State Fair. Hey, I've been over there. I've been over there.
Alabama, Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldier's Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newburgh Corners, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Fortinville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Thunderville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smelled that dairy air, hey, once above Claire, hey, thought I saw a bear, hey, I had a creep of that state fair, hey, I've been over there.
Green Bay.
I've been over there, hey, smelt that dairy air, hey, once a bottle Claire, hey, thought I saw a bear, hey, I had a creep up at State Fair, hey, I've been over there.
Been to Auburndale, New Auburn, Berlin, New Berlin, London, New London, Rome, the other Rome, Franklin, the other Franklin, New Franklin, Richmond, New Richmond, Ridgewood, Woodruff, Woodford, Pleasantville, Pleasant Prairie, Sun Prairie, Stein Prairie, Prairie Sheen, Prairie Sack, Black Flambeau, Vernon.
I've been over there, hey, smelt that dairy air, hey, once a bottle Claire, hey, thought I saw a bear, hey, I had a group of that state fair, hey, I've been over there.
Madison, Menominee, Menominee Falls, Triple Falls, Conner Falls, Cedar Falls, Clam Falls, Clam Lake, Clark Mills, Lakeville, Shell Lake, Clear Lake, Tishmo's, Trade Lake, Trade River, Two Rivers, Twin Lakes, Two Creeks, Silver Creek, Johns Creek, Fish Creek, Total Creek, Beaver Dam, Pulaski.
I've been over there, hey, smelled that dairy air, hey, once a bottle Claire, hey.